My message this morning is the words of our mouth can bring life or death, and it's a choice. Isn't that true? My wife and I yesterday attended a lecture in New York City on, of all topics, artificial intelligence. The lecturer was a medical doctor who is trying to explain how artificial intelligence is being brought into the medical field, where doctors have a human understanding of the body and they could diagnose certain things, but by a multitude of information fed into a computer, that computer could diagnose something far more greater than the human can. And this type of intelligence should be in the United States within the next 5 years. It's going to be experimented in Europe. But it's just an interesting thing how communication works, how you could communicate into a computer certain information, and that information could be more accurate based on all these variables to give a better diagnosis than a human can. And I was very intrigued by that. But for one thing I could tell you is that we as humans have been blessed in an extraordinary way with the ability to communicate. Now, don't get me wrong, animals can communicate in their way, but we've been given the gift of communicating through words and an opportunity to be on such an intellectual level that we could place a person on the moon or apparatus on the face of Mars. I mean, this is stuff when I was a kid was a science fiction stuff, and today it's a reality. And so we're given that gift of communication. But with that extraordinary gift that God gives us to communicate, we could also miscommunicate with the very words an ability that God gave each of us. And I think that's what the writer of Proverbs is talking about this morning. But think about folks who cannot speak verbally, and yet they could still use sign language to communicate with one another. You know, this happened, I'm assuming, after Jerry Alt back there graduated from our high school. But during my time at the high school we both went to, and by the way, Bruce Kirshner went to the same school, you could tell it was a great school where three great guys, right? Only kidding. But it was an innovative school where they introduced a pilot project of having individuals who were deaf to be mainstreamed into the life of a regular school rather than a school for the deaf. And it was not uncommon to hear loud noises when everybody else was silent while they were communicating with each other. And as a teenager, I was so intrigued how they were able to communicate just with their hands. Now, I'm going to share a little secret. They also knew how to cheat on exams because they would give each other answers. And I try to do a crash course on sign language. But it was interesting how they were able to communicate with the usage of their hands. And I was intrigued by that. That's a gift from God. Communication's important, whether it be with each other or between us vertically with God in prayer. I hope you all have a prayer life, because I will tell you, you will have a peace which passes all understanding when you have a regular time apart with God in communicating with God. Now, communication requires two ways. So we pray, but then we got to stop and listen for an answer that God gives us. Communication allows us to live in community and relationship. And conversely, when we miscommunicate with each other, it causes disunity within a community or a relationship, right? And we see even our nation's divided today, unfortunately. And so is the church. And I'll talk more about that later. God knew this when the writer of Proverbs wrote these words that Dave just read about using wisdom in the way we communicate with others. Now, picture students sitting under the teaching of these great Proverbs, right? These are Jewish students that are sitting under a teacher, these great Proverbs, words of wisdom that the teacher's telling them will help you succeed in life, get along with others, and please God at the same time. That's why these Proverbs were written. And guess what? Generations later, thousands of years later, these Proverbs are as important today as they were the day they were written by the writer. Learning to speak wisely and to communicate effectively is a lifelong task for each and every one of us. We should get better at it. We truly need to test our speech on a regular basis. We need to think before we speak. That's important. We need to line up our conversations with other people according to Scripture, in particular, the writings of the Proverbs found in the Hebrew Scriptures of our Bible. You know, in the days when Proverbs was written, most people did not know how to read or write. Information was translated and communicated by the literate, those who were able to read, perhaps the rabbi. And then, by the way, much later into the Middle Ages and even some period of the Renaissance, there was still illiteracy at a very high level where if people wanted to learn something, they would receive that learning either through their rabbi or their priest. In other words, the priest would interpret the scripture. And by the way, that's the reason why we have stained glass windows with all of these stories. Historically and traditionally, they were there so people who could not read would see stories of the Bible depicted in stained glass or oil paintings or other forms of art and illustration. It's an interesting concept. Of course, today the majority of people are literate. The majority of people can read and write. And so therefore, you and I could go into the scriptures on our own. You don't need me to interpret the scriptures for you. You could read the scriptures on your own and study them. And I hope you do. I hope you do. But even in the days of Solomon, think about this. People had daily business lives. They agreed to verbal contracts and covenants with one another on a regular basis. They had other transactions that they had to, in other words, they could speak, they could communicate. They may not be able to read the scrolls of the Torah, but they could certainly speak the language and to get along in their lives, in their businesses. It was all about communication. In Solomon's time, children were coached and instructed. From the time they were very young, they would sit under the teaching of a rabbi and they would learn the arts and the scriptures. They would learn about prayer and worship. They would learn about etiquette, how to behave with others. And I want to tell you that's so important. Important information was translated to these children by village leaders and religious leaders to train up and equip these young people to grow up to be responsible adults. Now, I'm not knocking this new generation, but unfortunately, in many instances, this has lacked considerably today to teach a child how to behave. Just go to a local restaurant and see what goes on. My wife and I were at a restaurant once. I may have shared this. These kids were throwing food at each other. They were running around. The parents were talking to each other. And I'm thinking to myself, be quiet, Chuck. They're not your kids. You know, just train up a child in the way he or she should go. And when they grow old, they will not depart from it. That's in the Bible. And this was a regular understanding in the Jewish home in the time of Solomon. Today we communicate how, heaven forbid, you forgot your cell phone at home, right? You panic. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? We get the shakes. Today we have telephone, email, texting, Skype, Twitter, television, radio, Facebook, newspapers, newsletters. We've got Instagram, and the kids could probably tell me a few more apps that I don't know about, how we communicate. And yet it's interesting, with that modern technology of, technology of that little phone, and by the way, artificial intelligence, this doctor said, people struggling with glaucoma, there's going to come very soon where an Apple iPhone 11, you could hold that phone up to your eye and it will read out information sent back to the doctor with an accurate readout of your pressures and visual field. It's amazing stuff. I mean, I don't knock technology. It's both a blessing and a curse at times. It could bring good, and oftentimes it brings evil. But it's interesting that even with this modern technology of that little gadget that we have in our pockets or in our little holders or our pocketbooks, it's necessary to still communicate verbally and to still communicate. It hasn't outdated the Proverbs either. Verbal communication is necessary. And by the way, I don't want to sound like my father now, but when I was a kid, we played outside all day with my friends until Mom said it was time to come home for dinner. My grandson now, he's 8 years old. He's competing Fortnite. Don't even ask me what it is, please. 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 But he's competing. I said, who are you competing with? He said, I'm competing with all my friends. They're on a link, but there's no interaction. He's by himself. They're in their houses, and the computers just separate them from one another. It's pretty cool. I'd probably do it myself if I was a kid today, but we had a lot of intercommunication when I was a kid with others. Speech, the spoken word, has much power to either help or to hurt someone. And that's true today, as the Proverbs writer writes, as it was back when he wrote this particular passage that we're exploring this morning. Now, I want to tell you something. The heart and the mouth are connected. Now, not physiologically, but the mouth is connected to the heart, according to Scripture. I remember years ago, there was an old saying, whenever somebody got drunk, boy, you really found out what they thought. Right? You get the drunk, he goes, well, I never liked you anyway. But he wouldn't say that if he was sober. And it provokes an individual to uncover what's inside his heart for real, because he's sort of medicated himself a little bit with alcohol, and all of a sudden the courage and the boldness comes out, and he tells you what he really thinks. Because what's in the heart loosens up the words of his mouth. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, he says, out of the overflow of one's heart, the mouth speaks. What's really deep down inside that we got to be careful about. We got to be careful about our heart condition. And I'm not talking about a pacemaker or, you know, a heart cardio checkup. I'm talking about our heart as a believer in Jesus Christ. Think about the hurt that is often inflicted upon a husband or a wife, or between a parent and a child, or even a child to a parent, when we miscommunicate and we bring this pain onto one another by the way we're treating each other through the words that we choose to use. Hurtful words. See, hurt people oftentimes use hurtful words toward people that they even love. I always say it's like a two-edged sword. It cuts deep when somebody hurts you with their tongue. I don't know if you've ever been hurt by the words of another. I know I have. I'm sure most of us have. And it's sad. But did you know that Jesus said that we're going to be accountable for every word that departs out of our mouth? Yeah, uh-oh. I want to make it Jewish. Oy vey. We're going to be held accountable. You see, along with our mouth and the gift of speech, the writer of Proverbs says, comes responsibility. We have to be responsible for the words that we use. Two verses that were read by David says, the words of the godly are like sterling silver. The heart of a fool is worthless. The words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by the lack of common sense. Have you ever experienced a time when you lacked common sense? Oy vey again. The writer of Proverbs, again in Proverbs 16:23, listen to what he says, 16:23, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. A wise person will guard our mouths. We will be careful of how we choose to use our words so that they're more instructive than destructive. And that's what he's talking about. The heart is a reservoir of the mouth. Jesus and this writer says that choice is decided in the heart how we're going to respond with our lips and our tongue and our mouth. So what out of our mouths could come what? Well, look up on the screen. Blessings or curses? Hope and encouragement or hopelessness and despair? Wisdom or foolishness? Words that build up or words that tear down? Joyce Myers, I love what she said one day. She said, our words could either be bricks or a bulldozer. They could either be used to build someone up or they could just plow them under by the way we choose to speak to others. It's a good analogy. Our scripture this morning in verse 19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. I love this quote, not scripture, it's by Mark Twain. I love Mark Twain. He says, it's better to keep your mouth shut and appear stupid than to open it and remove all doubt. I love that. I love that. Keep quiet. Because if you open your mouth, you're just going to prove something that they already or might have known. I love Mark Twain. He also had another quote. He said, Thomas Jefferson, I think, said, if you get mad, count to 10. Count to 100. Mark Twain says, count to 10 and then just cuss. I'm not instructing you to do that, though. I've met people who truly believe mouthing off is a badge of courage. That I'm not going to let this person get away. You know, I speak my mind. I let you know exactly where I'm at. I don't hide anything. What you see is what you get. Well, that doesn't line up with Proverbs, unfortunately, my friends. The Hebrew word for hold is the same as the word spares. And sometimes we need to spare others of our words. That's why Proverbs 17:27 says, if we have knowledge, we will spare our words, hold our words, and if we are a person of understanding, we will exhibit a calm spirit. A calm spirit. Now, whether the object of the verb in Scripture is lips, mouth, or words, the result is always the same, and that's this. The control of our speech is a prime mark of wisdom and understanding and being a believer. When we can control our words, we will be a better witness than if we did not. And that's what the writer of Proverbs and Jesus is instructing us this morning. And you know what? With God's help, listen to this. This is the truth. It's worked in my own life when I apply it. When we master this control of our speech, we will discover a calm that will overcome us under trying circumstances. If I could just keep my mouth shut, if I could count to 10 or 100 and just take a deep breath and call on the Lord, I'll have peace in the midst of this situation that I'm about to go into. Proverbs 25:25 describes it as cold water. It's the image of a blazing fire. And when you control that speech, it's like pouring a cold water on a burning fire, dousing that fire that's inside of us, that's in our stomach, saying, I'm going to let this guy have it. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Let it go. We'll talk about it later, not now. When we're all heated up like a pressure cooker, turning to God for his help is like pouring cold water on a fire. And you know, that is what this requires. It requires the gift of the Holy Spirit called patience. How's your patience? Is your patience pretty good? You freak out when there's a line at the bank? You freak out when your computer doesn't boot up fast enough and you want to throw it out the window? Patience. It's so important. You know, concerning patience, I want to close with a story. Let me read this story for you. I think you'll enjoy it. It seems that one day a kindergarten teacher was helping one of her students put on his cowboy boots. He asked for help, and she could see why. Even with her pulling and him pushing, the little boots still didn't want to go on his feet. Finally, when the second boot was on, she had worked up a sweat. She almost cried when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked down, and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was to put them on. But she managed to keep her cool. She kept it together as they worked together to put the boots back on again, this time on the right feet. And it was only then that he announced, "These aren't my boots." She bit her tongue rather than scream. "Why didn't you say so?" like she wanted to. And once again, she struggled to help him pull the ill-fitting boots off his little feet. No sooner had they got the boots off than he said, "They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them to school today." Stifling a scream, she mustered up the grace and courage she had left to wrestle this ill-fitting boots back on his little feet. Helping him into his coat, she asked, "Where are your mittens?" To which he replied, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." She held her tongue. She practiced patience, even though it wasn't easy. Holding your tongue is so important. And I close with this epitaph that was found on a gravestone in New Hampshire, New England. And I'll end with this. It says, "Beneath this sod, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 21st of May finally held her tongue." And so, Lord God, I pray, teach us to have the wisdom to be careful what might be conjuring up in our stomachs and in our heart, not to come out in a way like a double-edged sword in the way we speak toward others, that you might not only bring us peace and peace and instruction to the others we deal with each day, but that we would glorify you by our witness. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.